Yes, and widening inequalities in pay, health and opportunities in the UK are undermining trust in democracy, and this is according to the Institute for Fiscal Studies. The think tank warns of runaway incomes for high earners, but rises in deaths of despair from addiction and suicide among the poorest in society. It warns of risks to centre-ground politics from stagnating pay and divides in health and education. The report says such widening gaps are making a mockery of democracy. The IFS, which is one of the country's leading research institutes, is launching what it says is the UK's biggest analysis of inequality. This will be chaired by Professor Sir Angus Deaton, who is a Nobel Prize-winning economist. He said that people were troubled by inequality more now than at any other time since the 1940s, and their impact was so serious that it suggested that democratic capitalism is broken. He warned of the dangers of disillusionment if people did not feel fairly rewarded for their work, and that extreme wealth seemed to be gained by taking rather than making. It suggests pay inequality in the UK is high by international standards, with the share of household income going to the richest 1% having tripled in the past three decades. Also, the average chief executive of a FTSE 100 company is now earning 145 times the average salary. This is up from just 47 times in 1998. The middle classes are also under pressure, particularly those from younger generations, with stagnant pay and unaffordable house prices. As well as inequality in income, the think tank is also highlighting divergences in health. It says that's almost a 10-year gap in male life expectancy between the richest and poorest, with those in the poorest areas dying deaths of despair. The IFS says that inequality levels potentially could reach those of the US, where pay for male non-graduate workers has not risen for the last five decades. And so the IFS overall is saying that wealth is being concentrated at the top, and this could have a backlash for people further down the pay scale. So the question is here, how are we going to go about it, making sure people are not dying deaths of despair from those from the poorest areas?
Okay, maybe I'll be quite opinionated here, as it's a theme this pulse seems to be. But maybe austerity isn't working.
Perhaps.
That was sarcasm. Hopefully everyone understood that. But taking money away from those who are most vulnerable is only ever going to widen the gap between those who are rich and those who are poor. And people are going to be desperate and despairing in those kind of situations if they aren't helped. Those are situations that usually are not, self-inflicted. It's just inequality within our society that we should be fighting to stop. We should try and make social justice happen. And I think the government could be an amazing example of that. Sadly, it isn't, and it's left up to charities, which I don't think should be happening.
I think it's interesting, like the same article, I was having a look at it, was saying stuff about us being on the same levels of inequality as the US. The UK, like, generally does criticise the US for their inequality, talks about, they have such a system, that the health system obviously is terrible for inequality. People have to buy healthcare, spend a lot more money on healthcare than we do in the UK, even like considering taxation and how that contributes towards the NHS. If we're heading in that direction, we are heading towards the very thing that we claim we criticise, and it's completely a cause of austerity. And it's also, I'd say, a cause of us shifting more towards the kind of commercial look that the US has. That is what is kind of crippling the US for in terms of inequality at the moment. It's a thing that I always go back to, it's been going on for years, but the Flint water crisis in the US. That's the reason why that's still such a prevalent issue, is because of commercial interest. It's because of there not being funding in a government. Well, there is funding, but not the right type of placed funding in a government to step in, clean the water, and give the people of Flint in Michigan clean water for them to drink. Like, it's that simple, and it's just not available. People are having to buy bottled water. They're not able to get water out of taps anymore to drink. And that's been going on for, I think, about 5 years now. It's been ages that that's been happening, and we're going to start seeing stuff like that happening in the UK. We saw it starting with housing, quality of housing. I think it was definitely exacerbated through Grenfell. That's when people started talking more about inequality of housing and how much of an issue that was. But it shouldn't take big disasters like that for us to realise that we're heading towards a dangerous, dangerous path of inequality. And you think, like, what change can we do? Like, we had some incredible protests by Extinction Rebellion and places like that. We had protests against environmental inequality. And what impact that's having on people, because that is having also an impact on housing, on people's lives, on water. But what are we meant to do to protest when our government isn't even concentrating on our country at the moment? This is a very difficult choice to make.
And I'm thinking, alongside the housing inequality, there's also rising crime rates, which have been associated with
austerity.
And yeah, exactly. And you all. Obviously, crime is something which we should be in, which we should try and be stopping. But you can almost not blame those who are even unable to provide food for their families, are having to resort to these crimes. So even like petty crimes, but these could easily be solved by providing more funding.
Yeah, and I think overall it's having a wider impact on society, because it's not just talking about incomes, it's also talking about, you know, life expectancy, and, you know, people's quality of health and quality of life is going down of this, because of this. And it's also saying about how this inequality is essentially driving people, you know, further to the extremes politically. And I think what it highlighted there is about, you know, working class, non-college educated men in the US, United States, which again is one of the key vote bases for Donald Trump. And you can see this populism and the spread of populism in the last few years, I think, really, you know, correlates with this increasing inequality, because, you know, people don't feel like they've been, you know, treated fairly by the government, and so vote for these, you know, parties and individuals. And of course that just points to the fact that, you know, in a very simplistic way, like, it's in a government's best interest, you know, to provide for their people if they want to stay in office, because I think that's generally how elections work, isn't it? And, you know, if this continues, I think we may continue to see the spread of populism and these kind of politics elsewhere, and continue to rise.
And I'm so glad there's this kind of study, like the Institute for Fiscal Studies, that is pointing out this inequality. I think it's very underappreciated. I recently worked in a charity called Street Child, and it was helping street children and enter into sports. And there was a British team for street children who had been in care and kicked out and just got lost, you know? I think there is a lot of inequality around the UK that we don't really know of.